I had a seminary professor who said you should never begin a worship service saying good morning. But then I reflect that he spent most of his years teaching at a seminary. I've spent most of my years preaching in congregations. Praise God and good morning. God is good, and all the time. I am going to take my time for two reasons. The first reason is that I'm not feeling 100%. The second reason is there are many folks seated here today who are not 100%. You may not admit it, you may not look it, you may not even feel it, but in your spirit, in your mind, in your life, things are not 100% always top shelf, ready to go. The message today is don't let his grace go to waste. I'm going to read one verse of scripture from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, and you will hear it again from the message. I am what I am by God's grace, and God's grace hasn't been for nothing. Paul says, I've worked harder than all others, that is, it wasn't me, but God's grace, the grace of God that is with me. I'm not about to let his grace go to waste. That's the translation Eugene Peterson uses in this 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 10th verse. I can think of 100 reasons to praise God without apology as we begin annual conference 2012. I am so grateful for life, so grateful for people who love me, Jesus who saved me, and this conference that over the past 4 years has embraced me. I can think of 100 reasons to praise God without apology, even as we begin this annual conference. Just 2 days ago, I was sick enough to spend most of the previous 3 days in doctor's offices and the emergency room of the hospital. I began one night with shivers. I woke the next morning, early morning, and my eyes were puffed up and my right eye was nearly closed. My face was twice its normal size and lopsided and lumpy. I was feeling lousy, sick and low, as the old folks used to say, and I was a little bit ugly. But my wife turned to me and said, I still love you, but we got to get you to the emergency room. I'm a few days past the crisis point of that time and on antibiotics and feeling 75% better than I did then. I can think of 100 reasons to thank God for life and for you and for the church, imperfect as we are, yet in place, limited only by our fears and our propensity to fall down. Yes, we all fall down. In the words of the gospel singer Donnie McClurkin, we fall down, but we get back up. Bishop Trimble, what about General Conference? Well, what about it? My prayer has always been a Pentecost prayer, not a process prayer. I pray that the relentless activity of God will fall like tongues of fire and warm our hearts and release Christ's love and unleash the church. We can't vote our way into our kingdom potential. We can't restructure the church for the mending of creation. We can give ourselves away so Christ can use us, bruised or broken, rich or poor, gay or straight, connected or disconnected, we can give ourselves away so that God can use us. We can love enough to lift somebody who is down and pray enough to turn the church around and face the world outside our doors. I'm not about to let His grace go to waste. I'm not the only one here who's not 100%. The truth be known, all of us have some story, some burden, some cross that we carry. We all are raising the question, will somebody do something?
That's not good.
Oh, I don't need this. I'm already late.
Somebody will come. Anybody out there?
Do you have a phone?
No. Sorry. Somebody! Hello! There are two people stuck on an escalator and we need help. Now, would somebody please do something?
Help! Help! Help!
I don't believe this. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm gonna cry.
Well, there's nothing else left to do, is it?
We're always waiting for somebody to do something. And sometimes when we're stuck on the escalator, the best and first thing to do is just to start walking up the stairs. I'm from Iowa, and I tell people wherever I go, I am from Iowa, and we don't wait for somebody to do something because we are somebody. If we just lift up the many pictures and images of the Iowans at work all over the world, here in Iowa, in Haiti, in Africa, many other places where we're engaged in making the world a better place, we need not make apologies. We need not be stuck on an escalator asking for someone else to do something. I'm not about to let His grace go to waste. Grace, as defined by Paul in his New Testament writings, is the singular most important demonstration of God's goodwill toward humankind, coming in the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. In the Old and New Testament, goodness, love, and mercy walk together in front of men and women, boys and girls. And we owe the blessings of life to the love of God. Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His compassion is over all He has made." All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated as righteous freely by His grace because of a ransom that was paid by Christ Jesus. I remember learning about grace as a child, grace at the table where you say thanks for the food that has been provided. But grace continues throughout life. Just a few weeks ago, I spent time in Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, and Coralville. I preached at New Horizons United Methodist Church, and following worship service, a group of the laity and a pastor and conference staff, we all went out to lunch. There were about 13 of us. First, they tried to seat us at one long table and one big round table. Because we couldn't all fit at the one long table, there were 13 of us. And so I figured we must just simply adapt to the situation. But that was not good enough. Dr. Jill Sanders said, we can make this work. It is better if we all can sit at the same table so that we can have conversation together following worship and this beautiful day of the Lord. Grown-up grace is the kind of grace that I think we need for the living of these days. As one preacher called it, grace for grown-ups. The kind of grace that understands that God's love comes even when our prayers are not answered as we expected. God's love comes even when the storm comes and destroys that which we have accumulated. God's love sustains us even when we are afflicted with physical pain, with life-threatening illness, with chronic illness that we must live with. God's grace is sufficient even when all of the things that we hope for in our local congregation have not come to fruition. God's grace is sufficient even when our family system is sometimes twisted upside down, when addictions come uninvited, when catastrophe comes unencumbered. God's grace is sufficient for all the right decisions that we can make and for all the right decisions that we make that allow us to make the right decisions that may save lives. The appointed cabinet visited Thurman, the community of Thurman, and Thurman United Methodist Church just a few weeks after that community and that town was devastated by a tornado. It's an amazing community. Many of you know about it, you read about it, you've been there. About 200 folks live in town, and the very day after the tornado, there were over 800 volunteers who had descended upon Thurman. We ought to give God some praise for that. I don't know if we have the picture still, if we have the picture of Thurman United Methodist Church put up. I want to say a word about Thurman United Methodist Church. It's a fabulous community, and Pastor Jay Johnson is just an exciting pastor with some powerful lay folks there. For many, many years, this congregation has always left its doors open. And just a few weeks before the tornado, they were having a meeting of the congregation of the council to decide whether it was time to lock the doors. May there have been some break-ins and so forth in the community. And maybe it was time that they should lock the doors in order to secure those things that were in the church. And the congregation and the council decided, and the congregation decided, lay and pastor together, that the history of that church for year after year after year had been to always leave the doors of Thurman United Methodist Church open as a place of sanctuary in that community. On April the 14th, the day of the tornado, a family who had fled their trailer to find refuge in town came upon Thurman United Methodist Church. The door was open. They were able to go in Thurman United Methodist Church and to go down into the basement and go into a storage room where in which their lives were saved because the church was open. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. I think the doors of the church should always be open. The doors of the Church of Thurman are a symbol for us that even as we are afflicted by tornadoes, even as we are attacked by all kinds of things that come upon us physically and spiritually, that the doors of the church should remain open. Scott and Mary Kesterson and their three youngest children are alive today because the doors of Thurman United Methodist Church remained open on April the 14th, 2012. For centuries, malaria has been a killer disease of poverty in developing countries around the world. Malaria. Scientists believe that the ancient Egypt's king Tut suffered from malaria. I've been to Africa, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Nigeria. Every time I visited these countries, I had to sleep at times under bed nets. All our countries where the United Methodist Church is alive and well, thousands of people and children are joining new communities of faith every week in these countries. Yet thousands of children die day and night. And before we conclude our annual conference 2012, thousands of children will still die in these African countries because of malaria. If you live in one of these countries, including the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and many other places far from Iowa, you don't have the option of not thinking about fearing the ravages of malaria. While in Cedar Rapids, I was at St. Mark's Church and had a chance to worship with an African Methodist congregation that's gathering there to worship. And I asked the question, how many of you, most are from the Congo, some were from Zimbabwe and other places, how many of you have a family member who has died from malaria? Many of them raised their hands. How many of you yourselves have had malaria? And several people were kind of looking as if the translation was not quite right. And they responded almost as if you live there, it's a common experience in some places around the world. If you live there, you will eventually have malaria yourself. Iowa took a lead when the Nothing But Nets campaign began. We were one of the leading annual conferences to start off and to jumpstart and to raise over $425,000. And Chuck Smith can correct me, but I believe we raised at least that much as an annual conference for Nothing But Nets. But the malaria deaths continue. But the good news is that since 2000, the year 2000, malaria deaths are down 33%. It used to be, amen, praise God. It used to be every 25 seconds a child died from malaria. Now it's every 60 seconds. I'm convinced, beyond any doubt at all, I am convinced at the deepest part of my soul that we in Iowa, we can be one of the vanguard conferences that helps to end malaria in the next 3 years. If you believe that, I wish you'd give God a hand praise right now. I'm convinced that we can usher in a day of celebration. We can usher in a day of celebration, not that we might receive any credit, but that God might receive the glory and children might be saved. I am convinced that we can usher in a day of celebration like the world has never seen before when we stamp out malaria in just a few years. The only thing that most people need to be happy and to find a pathway to joy is something to be enthusiastic about. Let me say that again, because some of you preachers are going to use this again. The only thing that people need to be happy and to find a pathway to joy is something to be enthusiastic about. And I know that even though I'm not feeling 100%, I'm feeling better just thinking about the work and the money that we're going to raise, how every congregation within the Iowa Annual Conference, and not only United Methodist, but our community partners and our business partners will join us in this massive effort over the next several years to stamp out malaria. In the words of Julian of Norwich, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. It is recorded that she believed that these words to be spoken to her directly by God. She believed that God had spoke directly to her these words, that all shall be well. I'm here for the same reason you are. I'm here for the same reason that you are. God has been gracious. But because God was so gracious and so very generous, here I am. I'm not about to let his grace go to waste. I invite you to give because we believe in miracles. And I invite you to share because this is one big thing we can do together. I invite you to embrace because you can be an advocate, you can engage, you can learn, You can take God's grace and remember that the church is an instrument of God's grace. We are means of God's grace. We make real today's lectionary lesson from John 3. God so loved the world. God not only so loved the world, God not only directed Jesus, not only directed Nicodemus to a way in which his life could be turned around, but gave him the pathway to joy. Bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, and let God's grace not go to waste. Amen.